Okay, I wanted to give a bat based on something that said by Rav Moshe Chaim Misato. I'm not sure where he says it. I think it might be in Sefer Derech Hashem, but I don't remember, and we don't have the Sefer. I couldn't find it to check. I think he says that there's a likud called Yalkut Yediyas HaEmes. I think it's in there. Anyway, basically, those of you know, the Rav Moshe Chaim Misato was basically a mekubel. He was so he wrote many things on Kabbalah, mostly which we don't read. And so there's a lot of different things. So obviously, Mesiras Sharon is not Kabbalah, we read. I heard from Rav Huttner, he said it's the amazing godliness of Rav Moshe of the Ramchal, that the Mesiras Sharon discusses topics that relate to Kabbalah, and he was a Mekubal, and yet he controlled himself not to stick any Kabbalah into the Mesiras Sharon, because he knew that this Sefer is not for Kabbalah, he had a different purpose. So he kept the Kabbalah out of the Sefer, even though he had almost like such a Yetzirah. I know on this topic, Kedusha, I got so much to say about it. But he kept out the Kabbalah from the Mesiras Sharon. So what he also, besides the Mesiras Sharon that we read, is a Sefer that he wrote, a certain like Hashkafas Svar, where he explains how Hashem runs the world. That's basically Sefer Derech Hashem. It's not considered a Musa Sefer. She was said you can't learn during Musa Sefer. But it is a fascinating Sefer, and it could be read on your free time if you're interested in it, where he sort of explains the concepts of how the world runs and the concepts of mitzvahs, whatever. Anyway, he explained either there and this other Sefer, Yalkut Yediyas HaEmes, I think it was in the second one. He says as follows. He wants to explain the concept of Yontif in general and Sfiras HaOmer in particular. And he says as follows. We do not in the Torah make birthday parties. Yontif is not a birthday party. What's the point? You're going to celebrate. Let's celebrate a birthday party. He says the concept of Yontif is that there's some kind of mystical thing, which is the way the world is run, that when something happened on a day, I assume it does not have to be something special in a certain league, then it's koveya that day, like the mazel of that day, whatever, that history repeats itself. For example, Tisha B'Av. We know Tisha B'Av is a day. What happened on Tisha B'Av? The first thing that happened on Tisha B'Av. What? The Meraglim. So because of that, it was nikvah to be a day of Paranias. Therefore, Chorban Bayis Rishon was on Tisha B'Av. Amazingly, Chorban Bayis Sheni was also on Tisha B'Av. It wasn't just coincidental that the two greatest Chorbanos were on the same day. It's because Tisha B'Av became mystically Mesugo for Tzaris. And that's why there's Halacha and Shulchan Aruch, that if you have a court case with Goyim, you shouldn't have it during Av. It's not an Isser, it's an Eitzah Tova. Because of the 9 days, whatever, are days that are misugo for Tzaris. On the other hand, Purim, it says here, if you have a court case with the Goyim, you should have it during Adar, because Adar is misugo for succeeding against the Goyim. What? Well, it's because whatever. It seems it's the whole mummy. She nichnas Adar, Marvin Simcha. I can't. It was a build-up. It wasn't just didn't happen just. It didn't just happen that one day. There was a process. So there's a day or the time that something happened became Mekubal. Yom Kippur. Why is Yom Kippur Yom Kippur? So what happened on Yom Kippur? Hashem said, what did Hashem say? Salati Kedvarecha. So when Hashem said Salati Kedvarecha to the Chet HaEgel, it became rooted into this day that this is a day of Slicha forever. Right? So there's that's what he says, that basically, Rosh Hashanah is Hayom Haris Olam, whatever, that the days receive a certain mystical power based on what happened. Now, I assume it doesn't mean any old thing that happened. Like if I was born on a certain day, I don't know if that gives any mystical hashivas to the day. I tend to doubt it. Maybe Moshe Rabbeinu was born on a certain day, does give it a certain mystical hashivas. Right? So there's, but the events that the Torah was Koveya to those days, those events were such amazing events that they were Koveya something about the day. And therefore, what the Ramchal says is in a very important thing, is that there's a yeshivish esprach that we don't always talk about, but is that you have to know what the avodah of the yontif is. In other words, what are you supposed to do during this, you know, besides celebrating the yontif, during the mitzvahs, what are you supposed to work on? So you work on whatever that is mystical for those days. So there, Brother Ramchal says as follows: what happened during the Yemei Sfira? So he says, you know, there's two things. There's a Daraisa and a Drabanan. You know, it's just two things happened in the Torah time, and there was in the, you know, with the Talmid Rabbi Akiva. But in the Torah time, leaving out Talmid Akiva, that's a different shmooze, and I don't think he discussed it. So, you know, maybe that's a different topic. What happened in the during the days of Sfira in the time of the Torah? So the time of the days of Sfira was basically what? What were the days of Sfira? The time that went from Yetzias Mitzrayim till Kabbalah HaTorah. Now what happened during Yetzias Mitzrayim to Kabbalah HaTorah? So he says as follows: that B'nai Yisrael and Mitzrayim were Amemta Shari Tumah. Even though this is a different speech, they saw all these miracles, and they apparently were on a pretty high level in certain areas of Emunah, but the Vas Achas, they were on also Memta Shari Tumah. It's a shmooze that a person can see miracles, and a person can even be on a higher level of Emunah, because the big schus Klai Yisrael were Zachad Yedal Chesed Nurayach Lefek Achrei Bamidbor. So there's a certain tremendous level of Emunah they reach, but with that they still were not able to shake certain like bad habits. So they could be simultaneously a Memta Shari Tumah, notwithstanding the fact that they were not on, so they were already on some kind of high level. Then he says at the Siach Yitzchak, but okay, but they were a Memta Shari Tumah. In by Kabbalah Zatira, where were they holding? Memta Shari Kedusha. We know that from the Midrashim. So they basically had to go from Memta Shari Tumah to Memta Shari Kedusha. How many days did they have? 49. So it sounds, which is Memtesh, just for the people who don't know. So it sounds almost coincidental. So what the Ramchal says, it's not a coincidence. Is that Pshat is that every day they worked on, or they, with special Siyata Deshmaya, they were able to move away, because Shari Tumah and Kedusha are, you know, there's, they go together. There's, you know, it's like a, in math, -5, +5. You know, there's, it's just on the same plane. So each day they started out on this point in Tumah, and they went to the opposite end of this of the graph in Kedusha. And that's really, if for those who say it, which, you know, the Yeshiva don't say it, but I don't know why, but if you read the Ribbono Shel Olam after Sfiras HaOmer, we say something like that. I have no idea what it's talking about, but something like that. You gave us Sfiras HaOmer, Kedidei Taharenu Mikliposeinu Mitumaseinu. That the purpose of Sfiras HaOmer somehow or another purifies us from our tumah. Ubechein yirat lefanecha shebeschus sfiras haomer yitzukim asher bekati besfira whatever plonis ve'tai, you know, each day has a different sfira ve'tai ve'kai b'dusha ma'ida. That's a pretty amazing thing, that beschus, just saying sfiras haomer, somehow or another that allows us to become toyer in that area. That's wild. And that's why they say the Mekubon were very, very big in Sfiras HaOmer. That's what I was going to even say in my morning halacha, and right after davening, that even though Sfiras HaOmer, according to many people, is drabanan today, but we find that we're very machmer on Sfiras HaOmer. We're machmer that we don't say, we wait to say it till Vaday Laila. And you know, we're pretty machmir. After almost more machmir, the minig in the world, many people, is there more machmir and Sefirah Torah than Kriyat Shema, which is a plia tuma. Kriyat Shema is a deraisa. Yeah, people will say Kriyat Shema at night, like 10, 20 minutes after Shkia. You know, but when it comes to Sefirah Torah, I remember my father's shul. All year they daven Ma'ariv, you know, every 15 minutes, 20 minutes after Shkia. And on Sefirah, they daven Ma'ariv later. Just for Sefirah, they were more machmir. But there's, it sounds strange, but that's a minhag item. And the reason for that is because there's some very, very powerful mystical power of Sefirah Homer. Okay, anyway, but get the, being back to where we want to go, because we're not into Kabbalah, and I don't know about the Klippas and the this and get into it. So what the basic idea is for us is that Sefirah Homer is, you know, on a simplistic level, is the way of being preparing yourself for Kabbalah Sadara. Right. Now, many of the Sfarim say there's Memches Farsha Tzara Nignes Mem, that also ties in. That's what I'm going to say, there's 48, and you're one day for Hazara, I don't know. But whatever it is. But the but there is a, right there, I think I told this probably every year, that there's a, and there's a saver, a storybook. I love storybooks of the reliable, that there's a story about Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonenfeld, and it brings the following story, that when he was a boy, I don't know exactly what age, my impression was he was a teenager, he got sick during Sefirah, and whatever, and the doctor said that he needs to take a certain amount of vacation. And I assume he recuperated, but he was so weak, whatever. The doctor said he needs he needs a rest. He should take a vacation, work too hard in yeshiva. He should take he should go off from yeshiva and take 2 weeks vacation. Sure enough, the next day he's back in yeshiva. So his rebbe went over to him to scream at him. You know, the mitzvah listened to the doctor. The doctor said you have to take off, go on vacation. You know, take 2 weeks off, or whatever it was, a week off, to, you know, just to relax, to rejuvenate your body. So it says that the Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonenfeld told him, of course I'm going to listen to the doctor, but not during Sefirah. You know, during Sefirah is a special time for getting ready for Kabbalah Satorah. And depending on how well you learn during Sefirah, will be depend on how well you're using the Ramchal's Lamdas. Shavuos is a time of re-accepting the Torah, and your Shavuos is as good as your Sefirah. So he said that, you know, I want to make sure I have a good Kabbalah Satorah so that I get the Kabbalah Satorah for the whole year. I don't want to jeopardize my learning of the whole year by taking a vacation during Sefirah. You know, obviously that's at a very high level. You know, I'm not going to get us all spooked out. But the Maisa, that was what, that's how the story goes. So there is that concept that the one of the jobs, I can't say the only job, but one of the most pushed job of Sefirah is to prepare ourselves more for Kabbalah Satorah, which means to improve our learning. That's the most pushed thing. To improve the learning. Anyway, so that's what I wanted to talk about. I succeeded in wasting 15 minutes without getting to point. But that's what I wanted to talk about. Improving the learning, especially during Sefirah. So how do we go about doing that? So in improving the learning, there's obviously two areas. There is your quantity of learning and quality of learning. Right? Quality of learning means how much you strain your brain. We believe that most people, 99.999999% of the people learn, only use a small fraction of their brain. And that's quality-wise, it can be greatly improved. You know, you're learning like you're reading a novel. It goes in one ear and out the other. Because you're not focused. I definitely know myself that there were times where I was very motivated. That's how I went to certain gedolim, and I was very excited. So it could have been I went to Rav Hunder, close to 30 years ago, maybe more, and I pretty much remember most of the conversation. Now, there are things that I learned yesterday, but I forgot. The difference is, you know, your intensity of thought. You know, I'm for sure the Musar Shmuzin that I heard from the Shiva, which goes back longer, the earlier ones I remember much better than the later ones, because, you know, after 10 years, 15 years in yeshiva, you began to not to take it. You know, oh, I heard already, so many shmuzim. So it wasn't with the same intensity. You sit back and like half, you know, listen with half an ear. So you remember, so I can remember more the shmuzim that were, you know, 35 years ago than the shmuzim that were 20 years ago. Anyway, so, but there's a one thing of quality there, but that's already not so easy to improve. But the other thing, which is much easier to work on, and that's what I want to focus on today, is quantity. Quantity just means add a little extra learning time. So I did a little math. You people got papers here. If a guy adds 1 minute of learning a day, and we assume, according to the Chafetz Chaim's Cheshbon, maybe you don't know the Cheshbon, that you get a mitzvah in 1 minute of learning, you can basically get how many mitzvahs? How many mitzvahs of Talmud Torah? 60. Because he says, the Chafetz Chaim makes a gevaldik cheshbon, is ein advarim shein em shir. Ein em shir means that there's no shir up or down. If you do it, it's the smallest possible amount, you get schar. Smallest possible amount means you say one word of Torah, you get schar. One word of Torah, you already got schar. So for each word, if you would say a word and you stop, so you get schar for that. So the So he makes a cheshbon that in a minute you can do, it takes, you can probably say a word a second, so you get 60 mitzvahs in a minute. Really, the Gra says that, I think, but the Chafetz Chaim calls it a lot. Okay, so you have 60 minutes mitzvahs a minute. If there are 365 days, roughly a year, not exactly. So how many is that? Someone with our quick math. All right. 365 times 60. Anyway. 21,900. Okay. So let's make that 22,000. It's close. Okay. 22,000. Okay. Now, comes along with the Chafetz Chaim judgment. Then what do we have to do? We have to multiply by what? 613, because it's Talmud Torah Kinei Ketubah. It's serious. So if you multiply 22,000 by, we'll make it, it will be fair, we'll take off the 13, because we raised the drop. So by 600, so 22,000 by 600 is 13 million. Okay, nice amount of it. So according to that cheshbon, if a person learns 1 minute extra every day for a whole year, you got an extra 13 million, the equivalency of 13 million mitzvahs. That's pretty good. Right? Now you say, okay, but you know, I got so many other millions. So that's the difference, is that that's by money, there's such a thing that at some point money has no value. So you got already $50 million. What am I going to do another $50 million? But by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu ain't that way. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't run out of schar. He says, oh, I already gave you so much schar for all your 20 billion mitzvahs. I'm sorry, even though you got another 20 billion, but what can I do? I have nothing left to give you. Right? We don't believe that. So we believe that for every mitzvah, you get more. So adding, what do we say? 13 million mitzvahs is quite impressive. It happens to be, but I don't want to get off that, it's really much more than 13 million mitzvahs for two reasons. First of all, you have the famous shmuz about Rabbi Akiva, that when you learn with the better, the more you learn, then all your learning increases in quality, you know, because it's a higher level of learning, all your learning. Right, that's for Kiva, he didn't want to stop for a minute to say hello to his wife, right? And then there's another cheshbon, that there's a lot of bittelsman, the person sleeping and eating, and that time is divided up proportionally to what you do with your life. And if I'm sleeping for the sake of learning, so it's considered like learning, so the more you learn, the more your sleep time goes to learning. So that really comes out it comes out almost double, because we probably spend 12 hours a day, roughly, doing our necessities. But since we're doing those necessities for learning, so if I had another minute learning, then for the 12 hours, a minute of those, you know, whatever, like equivalency. Okay, so it really comes out about double. But all right, anyway, so it's a good thing. It says, I saw in a sefer, it says that the Chofetz Chaim got shoes without shoelaces, because he made a cheshbon that if he get with his shoelaces, it takes him about a minute a day to tie, and he didn't want to and it takes him, otherwise he could learn an extra minute a day. It's pretty good. Now, of course, I have to admit that I don't recommend you get shoes without shoelaces, because I don't think that you will learn that extra minute. But just the concept that the Chofetz Chaim was worried about, he could find himself an extra minute so he could learn more, so he went ahead and had this chop to go ahead with doffing his shoes without shoelaces. So that, you know, so that's okay. So how do you get an extra minute of learning? That's the question. How do we get? Now, I think pretty strongly that it's mistavra anyway, that a guy who came into yeshiva in Evel and learned a certain amount, and now we're on the last leg of the year, you should move up a little bit. So we're not talking about Rabbi Trapper will shoot me if I say you should move up a lot, but to move up a little bit, I think Rabbi Trapper will admit. No, if in Evel you are learning a certain amount, Pesach, if you learn another minute more, is not going to kill you, right? Shouldn't kill. The guy who goes ahead, it makes no sense to me that a guy who came into yeshiva when he was 17, right out of high school, and he's able to keep 3 starim, and then 14 years later, when he's leaving Kodo, he's keeping the exact 3 starim. You know, how about? And without adding any more hasmada, doesn't seem to make sense. You should be able to move up. You know, there should be ability to get better every year. So at least, you know, at least a minute. What?
Maybe you're more inspired in the beginning with everything.
Okay, but hopefully that could be true. But hopefully you should be what?
Hasmada quality.
Hasmada is quality. That's what I said. The real moving up, yes, is quality. But time should also move up. It should also. It's not mistavra. Why don't you need to have time? Excuse me, why do you? Because you just turned down 13, what we had, how many misses? 13, what? How many? 13 million misses. Why? If you could add a minute extra, you get 13 million. Now you're right, if you improve your quality, you got even more than 13 million. You got much more than that. But 13 million is also nothing to sneeze at. I'm just saying that it's the easiest thing of moving up is in time. And it's not a stira. You can improve your quality. We say you're so exhausted by improving your quality that you can't, your quality moves up, hopefully, the meta. I don't think the child is that you're more exhausted. Oh, because I'm working so hard. When I first came to yeshiva, I didn't work so hard. Now I focus much harder. So I don't believe that's true. You know, so I would recommend that. Obviously, you should move up your quality, but it's just to make life easier for us, what to work on, that everybody should find 1 minute to work, move up. How's that? 1 minute a day. So where do you find 1 minute? It can be even 5 minutes. Where do you find 5 minutes? It was just moved up to how much is to 65 million? Wow. Okay. How are you going to find an extra few minutes to learn? So there's a few very simple ways. There's a lot of time. Obviously, the easiest way is just to tag on a few minutes during non-Seder time. And I've mentioned this many times, you know, after Maariv. So, assuming the guy leaves the base medesh right away, so you decide you're going to do Mishnayos Yomi. Right? So you take you a 5 minutes a day, whatever. You know, you have to have something set to do, otherwise you won't do it. But you have a project. Mishnayos Yomi is a very good project. You know, there's even charts you can get, so you know you have a set chart, and you can see there if you have to do it every day. Or there's other things. Mishaburi Yomi, there's also So you can find, you can do it, you know, you can go ahead and try to make up with your chavrusa. You're going to learn Mishnah Berurah Seder. Well, you'll go an extra minute Mishnah Berurah Seder. You'll start night Seder a minute earlier, right? There are many different ways of adding minutes. The other way, which is probably a better way, is to add, get rid of batala time during Seder. That's a little harder. How do you find it? The first question is how you have to find the batala time. That's not so easy. Someone once recommended, it's not a chayk, but it made sense, that for one or two days you keep the cheshbon of your day. In other words, you sort of keep a what's it called, a journal? Is that the right word? But a what?
Diary.
What? Diary. Okay.
A log.
Oh, that's the right word. A log. It's a big word, so I don't know. You keep a log of your day. And you see, basically, sometimes you'll be shocked how much time you waste. For example, you might discover that, you know, just looking at the log, that I need Seder, Beis Medrash at 10:45, and I went to sleep at 2, and there's like 3 hours there, and I don't know where they went. It just disappears every day. You might find that in the middle of afternoon, I thought that I learned straight the Kiyas Seder, and then between the time that my chavrusa goes out and I go out and we battle together and this and that, there's a giant chunks that we waste. So a log helps you get a handle on what's happening during your day. I heard from many people, the first person I think I heard it from was from Rabbi Moshe Dov Harris, but I heard it from some other people later. He had a very good suggestion, I think I also said this, is that he said one of the big problems is that we don't have what to do. In other words, let's say you're learning, and your chavrusa has to go out. He's sick today. Or he gets a phone call, he has to go to the bathroom, or your chavrusa comes late. So now you're sitting there, but you don't want a battle. You're in the middle of Seder, but your chavrusa walked out. It's like, now what do I do? It's like, it's awkward. So you don't know, you want to go weiter, because he's going to come. So I said, find something to do. So what they recommend is that you should have set aside a set Seder in something else and have the Sefer with you. In other words, what I used to do when I was in yeshiva, I mentioned this I think before this year already, is that what I used to do is I wanted to, if they were doing Babasra is a very big Masechta, there's obviously going to be certain problems in Babasra that you're not going to do in the Kiyas Seder. So there was a small parak that you're not going to do in the Kiyas Seder, and decide you're going to learn that on your own. So whenever your chavrusa goes out to the bathroom, we need a phone call, so you have the Gemara right there, you just flip the Gemara, and you read where you were holding. And that Seder, I think I used to do Gemara and Rashi, don't tell the Rosh Hashiva, but it wasn't, I didn't have that much time for it. But then that gave it there for a much bigger Sipuk, because I covered ground. So in that Seder of time when my chavrusa showed up late, or went to the bathroom, or took a, or whatever, or got a phone call, or sick, so I could do a nice amount of blot a year. Because if I'm just doing Gemara Rashi and filling in the Masechta, the part that I'm not going to do with my regular chavrusa, you can do a really nice chunk. And that gives you, so therefore you have something planned. The moment he gets called out, you have to sit there, what should I do now? You already know what you're going to do, and you have the Sefer. If you don't want to do Bab Basel, you pick something else. But the trick is to know what you're doing and to have a Sefer available. Anyway, that's just one. There are many, many, but that having a log would be very important, because that shows you if it's a problem. Is there a problem because your chavrusa comes late? Is there a problem that they go out to the bathroom, it's a different time, or is there a problem that you battle too much for your chavrusa? Sometimes there's a very simple solution if you battle too much for your chavrusa. What's that? Drop them, yeah. just basically get rid of it. Knock them off. Solves the problem. Anyway, but sometimes there are less drastic ways, like you mentioned it, and it takes two to battle. So you sort of found that we have to be cut off the batzal a little bit. Some people have an age so that they designate times that the first hour of Seder we don't batzal. We know certain times that are not batzalable. Okay, whatever it is, you have to work out a system. But I would advocate that at least during Sfira, a person should feel he's getting ready for Kabbalah Satara. So we should try and add. Now I agree that to add quality is really the main thing, but that's very hard. Adding a minute extra to learn is really cinchy. Right. So we know the trick of Musar is always to do the cinchy things, even though the other things are much more important. But I forgot to read the number, but whatever million it was, is not something to sneeze at. Now, increasing your quality is much more than that, because if you increase your quality, if you can increase your concentration, and it's not just 1 minute, but it's all day, then you're talking about hundreds of millions of mitzvahs. But it's not easy to increase your concentration. That's really a hard thing. To be able to increase your concentration all day is something, it's not just like a thermostat. You can just push up the thermostat. Okay, my brain is going to be increased concentration. So that's already not such an easy thing to do. You should try and do it. But this already, of finding a minute or two or three extra that you can learn a day, is definitely something that is doable and we hold of. And you can do it without becoming a nervous wreck, because I don't think anyone's going to become a nervous wreck because they added an extra 5 minutes or 2 minutes to their schedule. I don't believe that. I hope not. I think that's your, I don't want to see anyone walking with slippers next week. Or they're going to walk in without beards, because I don't shave. It takes too long to shave. That's probably true. It is, the shaving is a big waste of time. But okay. Anyway, all right. Shikaya.